On the face of it, reality is inclusive. In fact, it's all-inclusive. Excluding daily experience is an arbitrary mental act. It may yield an astonishing idea like Newton's theory of universal gravitation. Particularly brilliant was his insight that the apple's gravitational force draws the Earth at the same time as the Earth's gravity draws the apple. But exclusion betrays how reality actually works. This didn't particularly bother scientists of the Enlightenment as they dismantled the clockwork universe to discover all its moving parts. But today, we live in the uncertain universe, one in which there's actually a tiny fractional possibility that an apple can fall sideways or upward, according to quantum probabilities. And the greatest uncertainty of all is reality, slipping through our fingers. Exclusionism has many successes to its credit, but the human mind is inclusive to begin with. When the waiter places a beautiful chef's creation before you in a restaurant, you don't say, "Give me a moment, I can't decide whether to look, taste, touch, smell, or listen to this food." We take in the whole scene, all the time, and this happens far beyond the scope of the conscious mind. Under hypnosis, subjects can often recall childhood memories with photographic exactness, down to counting the number of steps leading to the attic. Heeding nature's message to be inclusive conforms to everyday experience. Newton himself was not a perfect exclusionist. A devout Christian, he believed literally in the chronology of history outlined in the Old Testament. In other words, he was a splitter, allowing natural laws to govern the physical world while bowing to God as ruler of the spiritual world. But being a splitter, or dualist to use the formal term, was only a stopping point on the journey to total exclusionism once God was removed from the picture entirely in the modern era. In today's landscape, to speak about superstrings or the multiverse involves a conscious decision to exclude all of reality except for a thin mathematical sliver. And even that sliver is just a hypothesis. To reverse course and choose inclusionism implies a seismic shift in how we approach reality. Every time reality is sliced up into data, a piece of the truth is being exchanged for the whole truth, a bad bargain. Splitting the difference became discredited once God left the building. But he held on for quite a while around the margins. Efforts to weigh the soul as it left the body at the moment of death continued well into the 19th century, but in vain. Recently, however, the scientific equivalent of soul research has gained newfound respectability through the concept of panpsychism, which makes mind a property of matter. We think this is a dead end. Panpsychism sounds holistic, which is positive, but it fails to really explain anything. One remains stuck with the mind-like behavior of atoms. That's not an answer. It's the problem needing to be solved. Viewed skeptically, panpsychism looks like the most retro move physics has ever made. Jumping back to animism and other Aboriginal beliefs that spirit abides in all things. Even so, the positives of panpsychism are appealing. First, it's a clever ploy to turn mind into a property that all things exhibit. Unlike weighing the soul as it leaves the body at the moment of death, a property doesn't need to have measurable weight and dimension, nor does it come and go. For example, being either male or female is a property among mammals, but it can't be extracted like drawing blood to see how much each gender weighs or what color it is. Second, panpsychism allows for the universe to act mind-like as its natural behavior, instead of an odd peculiarity among quanta. This alone would help make the theory popular, except for a fatal flaw. When you claim that mind is a property of matter, What's equally possible is the exact opposite. Matter is a property of mind. One cannot be proved over another. When certain hormones kick in, two people might rush into each other's arms to begin having sex. But just as plausibly, a person can think, I have a little free time. Maybe having sex would be nice. And this thought triggers the hormones. So our behavior, right down to the quantum level, makes simple cause and effect unworkable. To say that matter acts like mind, or that mind acts like matter, won't do either way. Otherwise, we wind up saying weird things like, the wetness of water is what made people want to swim. A mere property isn't a cause. Human experience is the last thing anyone should want to exclude when explaining the cosmos. Let's see if we can acquire a vocabulary of inclusion. Reality is all-inclusive, without a doubt, and almost miraculously, human beings can embrace an infinite variety of what reality has to offer. Where is the switching mechanism that decides to gaze at a gorgeous sunset while ignoring the texture of the ground beneath your feet? Or indulging in the touch of a beloved while totally shutting out what the furniture in the room looks like? We do these things so automatically that we take them for granted. The critical issue is what it means to experience the world.